Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of the hour, it is my privilege to be sharing these microphones with Chaplain Justin Cohen. By my estimate, and from all that I can see, this very dear and faithful man has a wide range of effectiveness for the gospel. Chaplain Cohen and I will be sharing conversation in just a few short moments. But first, we look to the Word of God. We have been looking in an exploratory kind of way through the Apostle Paul, his second letter to the Corinthians. We pick up with the fourth chapter, and I have this to read. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is just a splendid text. You know, the entirety of Scripture is worthy of being read. It is worthy for the Christian to give reflective meditation to. And we all have our favorite portions of Scripture. For whatever reasons, I can't say that in the previous 49 years of my Christian experience and life, that 2 Corinthians was one of my favorite texts. I was certainly conversant with it and its main themes and some of its classic verses. But I can't say that I dwelt within the ambience of 2 Corinthians very often. Somewhere along the line in recent months, the Lord brought me into a deeper appreciation of this entire letter. And we've been looking at chapters 1, 2, and 3. And the deeper I go into the text of 2 Corinthians, the more meaningful it becomes, the more the word jumps off the page. And so it is my privilege to be sharing. It is a true word. And I love how Paul opens this chapter. You and I, we are all dealing right now in a political realm. We hear about fact-checking, and accusations of this candidate or that candidate being called and accosted as liars. We never know if we're getting the real deal. But according to the text of Scripture, Paul speaks clear and unabated truth. We may not like it. I can tell you as a Christian, let alone as a pastor, that there are certainly texts and precepts of scriptural teaching that buck against my flesh. I would rather the word had something else to say, perhaps even the exact opposite of what it's saying. But the truth of the matter is, the text of Scripture, which is the word of God, needn't defer to my fleshly instincts and proclivities. I must defer to the Word. Indeed, Christian life is always at its foundational level an act of deference to or of submission to Jesus Christ. But we are blessed in this respect. We are blessed in so many ways. But in this particular respect, for this particular homily, we are blessed by the fact that the Word speaks clearly. I love how Paul puts this. Allow me to reiterate. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. And I might interject, I'm very sorry to say that there are times when I, as an evangelical, find that my evangelical comrades or something emanating from within the evangelical world is resorting to gimmickry or is reducing the Word of God to the lowest common denominator. For me, this is frightful. Paul goes on to say, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with the Word of God. Now here, I love this. This coming from the English Standard Version of the Bible. I often use the ESV or the NIV, in this particular case, the ESV. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. By the open statement of truth. You know, it's a very sad reality for me to say this as a pastor. And I do not mean this as an indictment upon any particular person, nor upon the local church. But I have found over 35 years of ministry that it is not as frequent as I would like that professing believers in Jesus Christ, and no doubt very genuine professing believers, they are less concerned with the truth than they are with what they want. The flesh gets the upper hand over and against the Spirit of the living God who abides with us and who resides within our bodies and souls. I remember when I was doing ministry in Moscow over in Russia in the mid to late 90s. I was sharing an apartment with a lovely couple. The gentleman had been a federal judge in Indiana. Chuck Colson, the great figure coming out of Watergate, he wasn't so great then, but he came to be a consummate servant of the gospel. And he spoke of this judge in his book entitled Loving God. And this lovely couple, as we shared the apartment, were telling me that they had been part of a reconciliation ministry. They would go into churches that were at war with one another, or warring churches as well. And there were 26 of these ministries in 1991. There were only three left in 1996. And it isn't because the ministries were so successful that they wrote themselves out of business. What was discovered was that even Christians, practicing Christians, were more concerned with being right than with being made right. And I'm not speaking to indict the church. I'm a servant of the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. But we must reckon with what the Word has to say. And the Word must be allowed to speak to our hearts and to our minds in such a way that affects our bodily actions and our attitudinal deportments. This Word must be paramount to the life of every single believer. I love what God says through the prophet Isaiah, my word will go forth, and my word will not return to me empty, for my word will return to me, and it will accomplish everything for which I have sent it. But that doesn't mean that every believer is going to be riding the crest of the blessing. And so please, I beg you to allow the truth of the Word of God to speak to your heart or your mind, whether you are already a professing believer in Jesus Christ, or you are, God bless you, a genuine seeker after the truth and all that constitutes the truth. We live in such a relativistic age whereby objective truth is debunked. But the Word of God speaks not simply objective truth, but at an even deeper and more fundamental level, an eternal truth. I love the old-fashioned language, the eternal verities of God's Word. And like the Apostle Paul, and I have no doubt, like my guest, Chaplain Justin Cohen, so it is for me. It is a consummate privilege to speak the Word. As a matter of fact, the older I get, I've been a Christian now for 49 years as of last month. I've been a pastor for 35 and one half years. It will be 36 come Christmas. I've been doing this broadcast now for 6 1/2 years. And what I am learning is that the very impartation of the Word, whether by way of speaking it or living it out through my pastoral ministry, in and of itself, that is my reward. The privilege and pleasure that I take in being a servant of Christ. Why? Certainly in the knowledge that God loves me, certainly in the knowledge that my life is secure, but also by virtue of the fact that I know that my life is grounded in truth, an eternal truth that cannot be violated. My beautiful wife, now with the Lord, as my beautiful wife left us 2 years ago, she's with Jesus. She always took great stock and great comfort in the fact that God is, to use the theological language, immutable. That is, that God does not change. Political candidates change their tune to accommodate what they think will be the casting of votes in, excuse me, his or her favor. But God does not change. His word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. We bank on the eternal verity of the word of God because we put our trust in the one who never changes, the one who never dies, and the one who, praise God, will never leave us nor forsake us. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return with Chaplain Justin Cohen in just a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I have the pleasure and privilege now of being joined by Chaplain Justin Cohen. This is a very dear man who is faithfully at work in the ministry of the gospel. Chaplain Cohen, we are both Facebook friends, and more meaningfully so with Christine Flowers, one of the great luminaries of the city. Welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor Lacey. I appreciate it.
It is a joy to have you, sir. I have followed your, if you will, career by way of your Facebook page. I see often interactions with our mutual friend, Christine, and I'm just so happy that you would care to join us today. It's a very simple formula. It works like a charm. I always, or at least in most cases, invite our guest to share his or her story of faith, and in your case also, not so much what you're doing in ministry, that will come in a bit, but how you were led into the ministry of the gospel. So tell us your story.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Well, I was born and raised in the Oxford Circle section of Northeast Philadelphia. Born and raised a good Roman Catholic boy, went to St. Martin of Tours Roman Catholic Church and Cardinal Doherty High School. Joined the Navy at the ripe old age of 18, trying to escape Philadelphia because I was a drug addict and alcoholic, and my life would have resulted in either jail or death. So I needed to get out of Philadelphia and change my surroundings. And what I say is the Navy saved my life, but Jesus saved my soul. It was a faithful Baptist deacon who was on the ship with me. I was stationed on a United States ship, USS Stark, Perry-class frigate in Mayport, Florida. And at a crisis point in time in my life, he shared his testimony with me and shared the gospel with me in a way that I never experienced before, and you and I now know it as Romans Road. And at that time, I was convicted of being a sinner and repented and gave my heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I praise God to hear it. And how long ago was that, Chaplain Cohen?
That was 1990. Okay. So some 34 years ago.
I want you to know, in the early 2000 era, a lovely couple with their little children came into our church. They were with us for some 5 years. The lady was from New York. The gentleman was originally from Pittsburgh. And they began to worship with us. And he had been with the United States Navy. He joined the Navy so that he could see the world. What he saw for 4 years was Philadelphia. But that being said, Philadelphia was a great conduit of grace because that's where he met his lovely wife, and it was by way of her testimony that he came to know the love of Christ. For you, it was courtesy of Baptist deacon. I praise God, being a Baptist preacher. Now, you have come to Christ, but how have you found your way into Christian ministry?
Well, as a young man, I always had a desire to encourage and to help others. And I think I was probably about 11 years old. I had a vision, an impression, an urge, if you will, where I saw myself preaching at the age of 11. And of course, I really didn't understand it at the time. Now, knowing what I know with hindsight, I can explain it and express it a little bit more clear. But at the time, I would say that that was my call to the ministry. And that was brought to my remembrance at my moment of salvation.
You know, I praise God to hear this because I have something similar. The details may be different. I was awoken in the middle of the night at 3.5 years of age, and I won't go into the details because this, I want your story to be the center of attention, but responsive to what you have shared, I was awoken in the middle of the night, and I was awoken, and I don't expect everyone to believe me, but I'm speaking what happened, by two angelic presences, and I didn't fully understand what that meant at 3.5. But when I came to Christ at the ripe age of 14, under great psychological duress, it became clear to me in that moment of coming to Christ what that visitation meant. It was, in a sense, my calling, like a prolegomena to my calling to be a minister of the gospel. I got it when I was 14. It came to me when I was 3.5. I'm honored to know that you have a comparable story. You use the language of vision. I believe visions continue to play in this day. We have colleagues who do not. I do not say that derisively, but clearly you and I are like-minded in this respect. So you had a sense that you were being called to ministry, and how did that begin to play out?
Well, I was originally planning on making the Navy a 20-year career. I loved the Navy. I was doing well. I was progressing and being promoted at the right time. But then I was injured during the Gulf War in Desert Storm, and that brought an end to my Navy career. And I said, well, maybe now is the time, rather than 20 years from now, maybe now is the time to be prepared for ministry, and I enrolled in Bible college there in Jacksonville and returned to Philadelphia in 1995.
And you have been here ever since?
Ever since, yep. I can't seem to escape.
Well, there's no need to. This is a great city for all of its travails. I'm a born and bred Bostonian, but I have embraced my life here in Philly. I still root for the Sox and the Celtics, but don't hold it against me. But I have embraced my life here in Philly, and I pastor in Conshohocken, but my ministry through the Bible Society, through this broadcast, through something called Voices of Philadelphia, we'll discuss over lunch. It takes me, my ministerial purview, into the city as well. And I love it. I truly love it. How has the, by way of your perceptions now as a servant of the gospel, as distinct from a guy being caught up in the grief of the city, how has your perception of the city changed? You're looking at it through a differing lens now.
Well, understand we are in a spiritual war, if you will, and the morals of society continue to degrade and devolve. We are not evolving. We are not becoming woke. We are not becoming more enlightened. We're actually becoming worse, morally speaking. So I see us in a spiritual war, and yet at the same time, I see a triumphant church.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I always think of, from C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, when I think it's Wormwood is instructing his guy to take his victim. I think he speaks of him as his client, but it's his victim. Take him to build him up with the great doctrines of the church, and then take him to a local assembly on Sunday, and it'll be deadly. And I say this to be affectionately humorous. I have a love for my little fellowship. We're not perfect, but we are the people with upon whom and within whom the Spirit of God dwells. And but for those steady streams of light, and when I drive through Philly, I see storefront churches everywhere I go. And I praise God for each one of them, because I'm sure some of them have sold out. Unfortunately, that's the life that we experience. But many of them with hard issues besetting them, finances perhaps at a low ebb, and yet they're fighting to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a joy to see.
Absolutely. I believe there's many points of light, for lack of a better phrase.
Praise God. Brad Lacey and Chaplain Justin Cohen will return with further of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Chaplain Justin Cohen returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Chaplain Cohen, please, having shared with us your story of how you came to faith, how you received your call to ministry, tell us about the work you do. We would love to hear.
All right. Currently, I serve as a home missionary, as a chaplain to veterans, and my jurisdiction, my area of focus, is Delaware County. The organization, the denomination, if you will, that I belong to is called the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. You know, us Baptists, there's 27 million different flavors of Baptist. My flavor is Full Gospel Baptist. They are my covering, and I serve as a home missionary under their authority. And I'm here in Delaware County, serving in and through the veterans organizations as a post-chaplain, district chaplain. So I serve in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, American Legion, and Vets, all those what we refer to as veterans service organizations.
It's a joy to hear. I have a gentleman in my church, and he's also a colleague with me at the Bible Society, and he was a Vietnam vet. He was damaged by Agent Orange. It's only in recent years that he's found his, he's known the Lord for a long time, but really only in recent years that he's found his peace. And he spends a lot of time in Veterans Court.
Yeah.
And he takes great satisfaction. I'm sure, my impression of the chaplains I've encountered within the military, you guys have a deep love for your congregants, if you will, your fellow veterans. It's a beautiful thing to see. Tell us about this.
Absolutely. In the military, there's a level of comradeship that is very deep and very substantive. And even after you leave the military, that you bring that with you. You bring that automatic level of comradeship that transcends race, creed, color, gender, geographic denomination, all of those sorts of things. So there is a true, genuine fellowship. It mimics the church. It mimics
yes.
the church.
Actually, at times, and I always want to be so careful, as a man, as I'm a kind of street soldier for Christ, I want to always be careful that I don't unduly accentuate the negative, but you well know that often theological differences can be obstructive to genuine camaraderie and fellowship. You don't seem to find that amongst military people.
No, but we do pick on each other. You know, we rib each other about the differences in our rank structure or the particular branch. Yet at the end of the day, if something were to happen, we know that we would have each other's back. Have your six.
It's good-natured ribbing, I should think.
Absolutely.
I remember back in the later 80s when I was still in Boston, my Welsh uncles had all fought in the Second World War. One guy was in the South Pacific, another guy was with the British Army in India. The one gentleman of whom I'm speaking was riding a horse on the Canadian border, fully uniformed, because he had a glass eye. He died, and I went to the funeral at the soldiers' home in Chelsea, Massachusetts, and there was an older chaplain. He was a Roman Catholic gentleman, a Roman priest, and he was very crusty. I mean, when he began to speak, I'm thinking, this is not what I had expected of a pastor. There was a crustiness to him. But Chaplain Cohen, the more he spoke, the more love for his fellow veterans and the men to whom he was entrusted as a chaplain, the love that poured through his voice for each of them. I walked away that day, and we're talking now 40 years later, and I still remember that Roman Catholic chaplain. The love of Christ just poured through him. It was extraordinary. And I'm curious, when you're ministering to these men, I know you can't go into specifics because of issues of privacy, but I would imagine that your role in their lives is a very edifying one, and I should think that you have a love that only deepens for them.
It's very rewarding. As I said, that comradeship that exists breaks the ice, so the levels of barricades in relationships that normally exist do not exist. So there's a level of, and I use this word loosely, intimacy, if you will, between service members, to where we can get straight to the point. Yeah. With a lot of issues. So when it even comes to spiritual issues, the level of pastoral care that you can provide to the individual is very acute and very effective. Because not a lot of fluff, if you will.
I don't think there's any room in the military for fluff, especially for men who have been in combat. Sure. Now, when you approach someone you don't know, is there an openness? Is there an upfront cynicism that has to be broken down? Is it a mixed bag? How do you find people receive you as a chaplain, at least upon initial?
It is a mixed bag. You know, normally, you know, people give the chaplain deference if they know that you're a chaplain. And in my case, I'm a chaplain in the veterans community who is clergy. They give you, you know, your professional deference. But there's a mixed bag, and you have to be discerning. You have to know. You have to be well versed in apologetics. You have to know. You know, how to have a conversation, and when is the right time to open a particular door in a conversation, and when it's time with some individuals that they're going to need some relationship building before you can get to a particular sensitive topic, if you will.
You must be, as I must, as a pastor of a local setting, you must be sensate to the individuals before you. You know, I remember we were joking. You showed us a picture of the Boston Strangler, Andrew Toney, of the Sixers of many years ago. I remember something that Red Auerbach, the great coach of the Celtics, said. He says, you know, every player has to be treated differently. One guy needs to be pushed and prodded. Another guy needs to be encouraged and affirmed. A third guy may need a little stronger action, you know. But as men of God, we have to be sensitive to what people have experienced. I deal sometimes with people who have had very, very ugly experiences with the church. I've dealt with other people who maybe a woman has been sexually abused, and the idea of male authority, and I'm not even getting into the egalitarian, complementarian debate, but just the idea of a male pastor can be rather daunting, and you have to be so sensate to the experiences of the people with whom you're dealing.
Absolutely. We are individuals. We are the church collective. But we are individuals. Every individual, God created each one of us with a unique fingerprint, a unique personality, a unique mission, a unique vision, a unique set of gifts and temperament and personality. And God calls individuals such as ourselves to develop those individuals so that they can fulfill the reason why they were given birth in the first place. Someone said there are two great days in a person's life. Number one, the day you are born. Number two is the day you discover why.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I never, because Christ, I guess because Christ came into my life at such an early age, I never had to ask why. I always understood that God loved me, that we live in a fallen world, that I have to work through my own fallenness and flesh. But you meet so many people who are plagued by why or what do I do next? And it's perplexing for me on one hand, because I don't deal with that myself. And yet I have to become more and more sensate to the fact that it is reality for others. I would also add, the further I deepen and grow in Christ, and I might suggest that there is a difference between deepening and growing, but that's, I don't want to get too anal here, theologically anal, but we can talk about that over lunch. But I will say, the older I grow, the more I mature and ripen, the more God's people, the more I cherish them. And the more when I find the camaraderie, I'm working right now collegially with three other ministers of the gospel. We work together, both with our ministries, with the Bible Society, with something called Voices of Philadelphia. And it's just consummate joy. We can trust one another. We don't have to worry about what the other's going to do or not do. I praise God for this. We're colleagues in Christ, you know. And I'm sure that you have a similar collegiality at your end.
Oh, absolutely. The chaplains, both in the VA system and those of us who are in the Veterans Services Organization, we get along quite well. And we cover each other. We fill in for each other. I realize that there are individuals that I may not be able to reach, and I need to call one of my fellow chaplains who is more skilled or adept in that particular area to deal with this particular individual. I too serve in the Veterans Treatment Court here in Delaware County, and some gentlemen have a different set of issues than others, and I need to know that I'm not Superman. And there are times where I need to refer to someone else who has a specialty.
In other words, you humbled yourself. Praise God. We need more of this. Brad Lacey, Chaplain Justin Cohen, we return for a final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Chaplain Justin Cohen returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Chaplain Cohen, I'm intrigued. You shared with us at the outset that you had been raised up within the Catholic tradition. You came into a saving encounter with Christ via the Baptist tradition. I think of the great military chaplain Oswald Chambers. He did not go from Catholic to Baptist. He went from Baptist to Pentecostal. And he was a small, kind of wiry man physically. And the troops, the British troops during the First World War, they mocked him because of his appearance. But he was one tough dude. And he had opportunity to be taken out of those trenches, and he refused to leave the side of his fellow men. And the respect that they grew to have for him because of his faithfulness and his toughness. You're a faithful guy, and I suspect a tough guy. I know that you and I share a particular political view. We can't go there right now by way of these microphones, but I know that you have a rugged understanding of what's happening, as I do. But we are living in a rugged world. We are living in a world, and you've already made reference to this. It is here in the West, we're jettisoning our biblical moorings. Elsewhere in the world, it's simply a frightful place to be. So let's talk just for a few minutes, Christian to Christian, fellow minister or servant of the gospel to fellow minister or servant of the gospel. Let's talk about the gospel vis-a-vis the world. What are some general initial impressions you'd like to share?
Well, I find that we are living in an increasingly relativistic culture. Yet, that actually brings about an opportunity. And I say that because of this. No one can argue with my testimony. when I share what God has done in my life, the relativistic world would refer to that as quote unquote my truth, as if we possessed truth or there are different versions of the truth. The truth is the truth. It's not owned by anybody, nor does it change based on who communicates it or believes in it. However, because our culture is relativistic, all I have to do is share my testimony and share what God has done in my life, and no one can argue with that.
That's right. Martin Luther King once made the statement, never underestimate the power of testimony, you know? And I'd like to think that our testimony is what God not simply has done for us, but what he is now doing in and through us. That's a very significant couplet or duality to me. He's working in us, he's working through us. And anything that God does we can taunt it, and yet we can't, because God's work is durable. It bears fruit. It will accomplish that for which it has been sent. So in the fine, like you often hear individuals, they turn to the Bible to read it in order to debunk it. And when they go in with that attitude, they come out believing it, you know? Even, you know, this is interesting, Chaplain Cohen. The great atheist apologist, Christopher Hitchens out of Britain, he was a man who in debate would take no prisoners. Truth for him was that profound, and he had a different conception of what truth was. He would take no prisoners, so he would hack and slash at guys like you and I all day, conceptually. But when the debate was over, he'd want us to go to dinner with him. And I think for Christians today, living in a world that's deteriorating and rejecting our gospel, we need to stand firm on the truth of God's word, and yet we still have to hold out a loving and welcoming hand to even those who would be classified as our enemies. That's a great challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that is a good description of the chaplaincy ministry. As a chaplain, I come in touch with and interact with people of all faiths or no faith. So we have to do that, preach the gospel lovingly, apologetically, and meaning that in the defensive sense of the term, not in feeling sorry, if you will. So dealing with people of different faiths, one has to be motivated by love.
Yes. Love is, as the Apostle Paul put it in his first epistle to the Corinthians, the most excellent way. It is the most powerful commodity in the universe. We do have to be certainly a little bit nuanced when we speak of love. Obviously, it's a word that's being thrown around in rather abusive ways. Love, biblically, is an agape, a holy and sacrificial thing. It's not mere like, and it's certainly not lust. It's something entirely distinct unto itself. You know, I'm very fortunate. One of my dearest friends in life and in ministry, notwithstanding the Catholic-Protestant divide dogmatically on certain issues, Father Dennis Gill of the Cathedral Basilica on the Ben Franklin Parkway, is a man in whom Jesus Christ dwells so beautifully, so lovingly, so powerfully. By the same token, I have another very dear friend. He's a Jewish gentleman. He is not converted to the faith. He's more agnostic, perhaps, though respectful of his own Judaism. And yet he says to me, Brad, you're the only guy I can talk to. And I don't say this to blow my own horn. I simply say that we have to maintain open hearts. There is one fundamental, non-negotiable truth. But to have open hearts in the application of that truth lovingly is the thing, isn't it? There's the rub, as Hamlet would have put it.
Absolutely. level, there's a level of maturity that is required to know that you can be true to, you can have fidelity to the truth of God's word, and treating someone else with love and respect is not a compromise.
That's correct. Exactly. Exactly. And I always, you know, I have someone within my orbit right now who has a completely different political take on things than you and I do. And I have said to this individual, I do not allow political difference to separate our friendship. I won't allow it. We can have vigorous debate, but we're going to remain friends. And in fact, I'll buy dinner. Okay, you know, I would imagine, and very quickly, because we're just about out of time, I would imagine that when you're dealing with veterans, you're dealing with men who are having to reckon with the ruggedness of this world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And along comes Chaplain Cohen with the love of Christ.
And that's politically, spiritually, in every area of the life, because, you know, we're holistic individuals. There's so many facets to our lives. But yeah, the veterans community is very rugged, but the fruit of the spirit, the love, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, that is the thing that chips away at the ruggedness and the various manifestations of the ruggedness that would try to inhibit or be a try to get in the way.
I got you. You spoke eloquently. You spoke eloquently. Brad Lacey and Chaplain Justin Cohen, we bid you God's grace in every way. Thank you.